All right, committee, we're waiting on the clerk. She's on the desk.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, thank you, clerk. I'd like to call the Appropriations Committee meeting to order. It's 10:40 a.m. on September 25th. And the first item on the agenda, or second order, or second item, sorry, is roll call, clerk, please.
Congressman King.
Present.
Congressman Bigworth.
Present.
Congressman Walker. Congresswoman Shaw.
Present.
Congresswoman Shaw.
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon. Congresswoman Lemon. Congresswoman Rebar.
Here.
Chair, I believe Congresswoman Shaw is in the chambers, but for some reason, the microphone has been muted, so I'm going to go and mute that, but I do believe you have a quorum.
Okay, thank you, clerk.
I'm here, I'm here. Thank you.
Okay, Chair.
Okay, thank you, clerk. The next item on the agenda is prayer. Congressman Bigworth, can you render a prayer for us, please?
Yes, thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we come to you this morning in our, dear God, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you give us the hearts and minds, dear God, Heavenly Father, the wisdom, the knowledge, dear God, Heavenly Father, as we work our way through these budgets, dear God, Heavenly Father, I just ask that you be with each and every one of us. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we have tough decisions ahead of us, and I just ask that you be with us as we make those decisions. Dear God, Heavenly Father, just ask that you be with our veterans and those that are still in harm's way. Be with our elders and our children. We ask all these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is the approval of minutes. So the minutes are dated September 23rd, and they are in your invite.
Madam Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
Motion to approve the minutes of September 23rd, 2020.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you. Motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
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 Okay, thank you. So the next item on our agenda is item number 5, FY21 appropriation overview. And I will turn this piece over to our budget analyst, Jordan. So Jordan, go ahead.
Thank you, second speaker. Good morning, everyone. You should have an email that includes the fiscal year 21 appropriation snapshot, the amendment tracker, and a travel budget breakdown. First, I'll go over the appropriation snapshot. As the appropriations to the villages, Minerals Council, and branches currently stand, Congress has about $1.4 million of projected revenue that has not been appropriated. If the committee decides to remove capital assets from ONCA 2076, that will free up an additional $200,000, putting us at about $1.6 million of revenue, projected revenue that hasn't been appropriated. There are currently 3 requests for amendments to appropriations. First is the Office of the Principal Chief. They would like an additional $16,227 to cover stipends and the IDC increase that would go along with that. Second is the meat processing plant. They're requesting $959,196 for salaries, fringe, and the associated IDC costs. And then third is the Minerals Council, which is requesting an additional $1 million appropriation. If those 3 requests are incorporated at their full amounts into the appropriation bills, then these appropriations will exceed projected revenue by $358,432. Second, I'd like to go over the travel budget spreadsheet just briefly with you. There are 5 categories. Yes, sir.
Before you go on, would you repeat number 3 one more time for me?
Are you talking about the request for amendments?
Yes, the third. Yes.
Yeah, it was the Minerals Council. They're wanting $1 million for professional fees.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. So as I was saying, there are 5 categories for travel that have been listed in the budgets we received on Mike Roy. There's GSA, local mileage, hotel and per diem, airfare, and then I listed another category. GSA, there's total request in ONCA 2076 for $121,713. For local mileage, $33,888. For hotel and per diem, $97,949. For airfare, $55,358. And for other, about $37,231. Just to clarify, the other category is listed in the boards and the educational entities for the nation. They include transport, and that's the category. That's the term they used, as transport. It's not any more specific than that. And also some money for field trips. And that's what I have for you today. Are there any questions?
Yeah, Jordan.
Yes, sir.
So it's my understanding you mentioned salaries for the meat processing plant, right?
Yes, sir.
So if I just get this straight, so we can use CARES funds to build and construct the processing plant, But we can't use any CARES funds to even help with any salaries of for said processing plant. Is that correct? Maybe someone from executive could help.
I can tell you that, yes, we can use CARES Act funds to help to build the processing plant. I'm not sure if they can use it to cover salaries and fringe between now and December 30th, if it were to open before December 30th. I'm not sure about that. But I know as it stands, for certain next year, the nation would be responsible for the costs of salaries and operating costs for the meat processing plant after December 30th, because that's when the CARES Act funds have to be used by.
Okay, I see. So, yeah, I mean, just logically, it doesn't make sense, but I understand the strict guideline they have there. So, okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, committee, are there any other questions from the budget analyst?
Madam Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
Jordan, do we know, we had quite a bit of discussion on travel earlier in this week. Do we know what travel is required or essential to continue certifications or licenses? Do we have any idea what the breakdown might be there?
I'm sorry, I don't have that information. I used the information provided in the budget support documentation that we received in MyCroy to build that spreadsheet, which we have sent out to everyone. I think that would probably be a question that would go toward executive, because they would have to provide a more specific breakdown of what is essential. I don't have that information, unfortunately. I'm sorry, Congresswoman Shaw.
Thank you. So on the other, that is essentially travel. I'm assuming it's not GSA and local mileage. I'm assuming it falls more into the hotel and per diem airfare category. Is it, do you know?
No, there were a few budgets that it didn't use the term other. There were some that used the term transport, which I thought was really vague, and that was for the boards. All those budgets were board budgets. And then there were some that were for the schools that was for field trips, and they every budget had those top four categories, and then there were just a few budgets that had little different things like that. So I just kind of put them in an other category. I probably should have broken that out a little bit better.
Okay, committee, are there any other questions for the budget analyst?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I just want to say, if you have any questions about what goes into the other category in that spreadsheet, you can see which budgets are have something listed in that category. And if you hover over the cell, I think it tells you what it's specifically for. I included comments on there. So you can just hover over the cell in the other category on the budget summary, and it'll tell you what it's for.
Okay, thank you, Jordan. Are there any other questions? Okay, thank you. So what I also wanted to let the committee know that I spoke to the vice chair this morning, and we're going to, of course, move down the agenda, but we're going to recess from 11:30 until 1, just so that everybody's aware for today's meeting. So the next item on the agenda is ONCA 20-80. And I've invited Congresswoman Stabler to talk about her bill.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. And morning, everyone. I have two bills pending out here that have to do with our benefits. And ONCA 2080 is a bill to capture a percentage of the budget for use for benefits moving forward in the future. And the other bill, which is in another committee, which is in the Health Committee, has to do with stopping the rollovers that seem to be hitting us every year. So, but I'm going to try to stick to this first bill, which I set the percentage at 45%, which would mean that all of our, it would take all of our tribal revenue, which this year it's been adjusted to 50,718. It's about 21 million to that would cover these benefits. So it's really not so much as looking at this year, unless it's reduced, and then there would be cuts there. But it's looking at what could happen in the next few years as we move forward. And I think we've looked at them. Jordan sent out some graphs. I sat and played with some numbers yesterday afternoon. And what we can easily see is that burial assistance and scholarships have basically flatlined over the last few years. Now, scholarships did have a bump this year, a small bump, but still in all, it stays kind of in the neighborhood where it's been for the last 4 or 5 years. But when we look at the health benefit, which has grown, exponentially since it began, if we look at that trend and where that trend is going to take us, there's a possibility in the next 4 years that could trend up for just the health side of it, of these benefits, to being in the $19 million range. And so that's what I started really focusing in on, is where we're heading with it. Now, this year, the benefit numbers came in. I agree with Jason's projection of that's probably what is going to happen this year, and that we have a better handle of looking at what's coming in. And especially with the second speaker's bill to have to reset the enrollments each year, that will have some effect on it. But mainly I'm looking at the growth. And each year, I think Jason reported 1,100 membership growth that we've seen each year. So we're still not to the maximum amount that it could be, say, if every member does, but I didn't really take that into account as much as just using the trend numbers that we're already seeing. So if that happens, let's say in the next four years, that it continues with the growth it has, that would have to be number one, because membership increases, which the enrollment has been increasing each year. And the other thing that could happen, of course, is the increase in the benefit, which we've already had a request this year that brought in for a zero deductible, which would raise the premium rates of those benefits. Now, all of these numbers I'm looking at, I would say I'm also, what you want to feel like when you're doing the benefits, you hit some kind of an attrition at some point, an attrition rate that cycles around. So with burial and with education, I think that's what we're seeing, is that those, we have just about the same amount of people using it each year. But with the health benefit, it does keep growing. So if it grows, let's say that the full fund grows to $19 million in 4 years, we're looking at really needing to look at a revenue for the tribe at even at 45% at about $70 million. So, and our revenue hasn't changed. This is what I just keep wanting to talk about, is the overall picture. And that overall picture is, all of these things are great and wonderful, and I love them, and I would love to have a zero deductible on the plans with seniors, and I would love to increase other benefits. We've had in the past mentioned about housing and adding other benefits to it, but if we keep that up, our revenues have to go up, and they're not. So that's the reason for this bill. Between these two bills, I'm hoping that at least one passes. One will give us a curb that I think will help us at least, you know, immediately, if not in the next year. With the cancellation of the rollovers, we will actually realize any of that till the 2023 year. But at least we would get it started and on track. So that's my thinking behind it. I know that it can't possibly be popular across all the members. I'm just trying to capture, and like I said, it's not just these benefits I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of the nation spending as well. And I think we've now realized what can happen if things shut down. We realize that there can be emergencies. For now, we feel like we owe ourselves the $8 million and that we spent while the pandemic was going on. So tragedies can happen. Things can happen. I certainly, at a time when there's 30 to 40 million people out of work, I don't really want to cut benefits. So I'm trying to find a way we can curb the spending and maybe not cause too much harm right now, but that in the future it could affect us greatly. And of course, we hope the revenues go up, but for the last 5 years, they've really stayed within the kind of a plateau themselves. So I'll stop. If anybody has any questions, I'm glad to answer them.
Okay, thank you, Congresswoman Stabler. Are there any questions from the committee or any other congressional members?
Yeah, I have one. Congresswoman Stabler. So have we done a snapshot of, say, just the last 2 to 3 years? What is our benefits percentage now?
It runs between 40 and 45%. It seems like a year or two ago, it was like at 40, almost 44, then 42. And this year, it's running just about 41%. And so, like I said, in my bill, I extended it thinking, well, we could capture, you know, allow some wiggle room in there. Just don't want it to go any higher. But that's also something that we could negotiate on, I guess, if we're willing to pass it.
Okay, so we've never actually hit this ceiling then of 45% of the revenue, just according to the numbers you guys have looked at.
Just from what I've looked at, I haven't seen us hit 45% yet.
Okay, thank you. And I also think it's obviously this kind of move takes a lot of courage, but I do think it's smart, like you said, fiscally, just looking ahead. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Keene. Are there any other questions from the committee or Congress?
Yes, Madam Chair, I have one. Congressman Bickhorst.
Go ahead.
Congresswoman Stabler, have you looked at our enrollment for the past, 4 to 5 years? I know it was trending up the last I had heard. And as long as it keeps trending up, I mean, it's going to get to a point to where it's not sustainable. So I was just wondering if you had any percentages or any numbers the increase?
I don't have that. You're talking about the membership of the nation, or are you talking about the enrollment for the health benefit?
The membership for the nation, because every member is eligible. That doesn't mean that they're going to apply, but.
Right. I have not taken a hard look in a while. I did ask for some numbers last year, and I think that in Jason's letter, he spoke about the health benefit. I don't know. Jason probably knows, but I'm thinking it's in the 23,000 range, but currently. I think Jason's on the call. I see Casey. If someone else knows.
Madam Chair, this is Jason, if someone needs a question answered.
Hello, Jason. Yes, go ahead. If you.
Yes, ma'am. Would you mind having someone repeat the question, please?
Jason, I was just wanting to know where we are on membership right now and what our growth has been, say, over the last 3 years. That came from Congressman Bickhorst.
I believe we're around 22,400, 500, something like that. And we probably 3 years ago, we were around 21,000.
Okay.
20,000. So I think we went up a couple of thousand in the last 2 years or 3 years. And the health benefit card, actually, the enrollment is down about 800 from last year. But also last year, it spiked from the previous year about the same amount. So we're usually around the same amount of people on the 64 and under. And the same thing goes with the 65 and older on the health card. And the Plan F Part D is pretty steady as well. It's around 950 in the Plan F and about 830 in the Part D.
Okay, thank you, Jason. Are there any other questions regarding this bill?
Madam Chair.
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Congresswoman Stabler, just a quick question. The 45%, can you explain to me how you came to that percentage and if you considered other percentages, then why you settled on 45%?
Well, like I said, in drafting the bill, I just thought, well, I'll give a margin so that maybe we don't do, you know, too much damage right now. But I had seen it at 42%, I believe, 1 or 2 years ago. And so that's what made me go ahead and round it up to 45. You know, I know there's been some comments to me about a 60-40 split between government and benefits. And I'm fine with that. I just wanted to have this conversation and start to protect ourselves moving, you know, in the future. So.
So again, we've never reached this 45%.
No, ma'am.
Okay. So it really wouldn't have any impact this year, like you said. It would be more looking if we're continue the growth rate, I guess, a couple of years down the road.
Well, it would, and I think it's. I guess that's one thing. It's all in the calculations. So when I say 45%, you know, in my mind was just that would be the max that we would, you know, we would appropriate. For some, they could interpret it, well, we can increase it to 45%. So, you know, that's one. That's my interpretation of the thought, though. It would be up to. So even though we would say we could use 45%, I would think we would stick to what we need according to membership right now. And so anyway, it's all in the formula and how you read it. But we are not at 45% right now.
Congresswoman Stabler, I have a question. Are you looking at a report that that maybe the committee could see that has information?
We did receive a letter from Mr. Zahn early in the session, and we went over it. That might have been in the health committee, however, but we did go over it. And then we've also had charts provided by Mr. Jordan Frazier on all of these benefits, and it will show you the trend lines on those. Other than that, just my worksheet, which I'd have to look at it again, but I think I'd be willing to share it. It's just a lot of numbers, not so much description, but I do have a couple of graphs I worked on. And I would be glad to share those, definitely. And I guess I could write a summation of how I got there.
Madam Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
The clerk just sent out a chart that shows the breakdown of fiscal year 20's appropriations to direct assistance versus other types of costs.
Okay, thank you.
Also, I want to note that it's from HUNCA session, so that $664,000 that was remaining then, I'm not sure is remaining now.
Okay, thank you, Jordan. Are there any other questions about the supporting docs that were sent to you guys, or any other questions for Congresswoman Stabler?
Second speaker, this is Alice.
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Sorry, I had to get on the call a little bit late, so I don't know if this was, if anyone's asked or this has been covered, but I was wanting to ask Congresswoman Stabler if she had, if she's had any conversations with the Attorney General regarding the percent mechanism in the bill, just based off of Supreme Court opinions on us appropriating in percent measures instead of dollar amount.
Chair, this is Stabler. No, I have not spoken with the Attorney General. I did speak with our council, Congress's council, and we do have percentages in our laws. We have quite a few of them now, and he said it is somewhat something we can do. There was, I believe, a technical discussion that someone else had with him, but he said, no, that wasn't really right, and that, yes, that it was no problem in the bill I presented.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Congresswoman Goodfox. Are there any other questions for Congresswoman Stabler? Okay, I have a question. Have you had the chance to visit with the executive at all about this, or have you talked? I mean, I understand we've talked to Jason somewhat, or the education department. So have you had conversations with executive on your bill at all?
No, I have not. Not on this one. I had discussions, previous discussions on the rollovers. That was something that was important to them last year as well when we brought that up. And but not on this bill. No.
Okay, thank you. So is there anyone from executive that has any questions?
Madam Chair, this is Jason. I have a question, I guess, or a comment.
Okay, go ahead, Jason.
Does the, I mean, I think we'd probably ask the AG, but does the some certain rule come up with that? With the percentage? I mean, are we not supposed to have a some certain?
Congresswoman Stabler?
I believe that's the conversation that someone had with Council Gill. So if he's on the line.
Second speaker, this is Trey.
Go ahead, Trey, thank you.
So this is a percentage limitation set out in law. If it were to pass, it would be calculated presumably annually so that we would not go over that 45% level. The some certain requirement is a requirement of an appropriation bill. So when we make an appropriation as a body, we are not allowed to put percentages or cuts in percentages in the legislation. The Supreme Court has made that clear. So we have to appropriate in a sum certain. But this is not an appropriation bill. This is a limitation on appropriations set out in law. So that is the difference.
Madam Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, just thank you very much. That answers my question. Appreciate it.
Okay, good. Well, thank you. So committee, I don't know if you guys don't have any other questions. Is there any movement we want to do with this bill out of appropriations?
Madam Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry. I do have one question. As we go through the appropriations or the budgeting process, I guess a couple of thoughts come to mind. Is, and you guys, you know, just educate me here if you need to, but I'm trying to understand in my mind why we actually need this bill when the Congress and appropriations takes a close look at the budgets each year and certainly would not appropriate anything that we wouldn't be able to afford. That's just kind of where my mind is going, so I'm trying to understand why this is needed.
Congresswoman Tabler.
Go ahead.
Yes, that's true, Congresswoman Shaw. We can curb that spending at any time during our appropriation, and that's in the hopes, but what I've seen, of course, over the years is that's not what happens. It's more of a, it becomes an obligation and an entitlement, and I hate to throw that word out there, but and so we start trying to cover those costs instead of letting the people know that there is a limit to funding, and that so we just keep increasing it, and that's what's happened over the years. It just keeps increasing. So again, that was my reason to put it out there right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, and that was my question. I think, you know, the Congresswoman Stabler and I have talked about this as well. I was concerned about us restricting ourselves, and I've seen this in some of our laws, that we kind of handcuff ourselves by putting certain restrictions, and I can definitely see Congresswoman Stabler's intent, and that's just to manage, as they call the big three, which I don't like to say that because we offer so many more direct services than the big three, but I think it's a way to manage our expenses and prioritize and things of that nature. So I appreciate the drafting of the bill and to have this discussion, but at the end, you know, just listening to everybody, I think that's the goal, is that we're now creating law to manage our cost, which I definitely am, I definitely support that. But that's where we are, and I think Congressman Stabler made the comment that our revenue is not increasing. And what we've seen and we know is that our needs are still here, and we're not meeting all of our needs. And we're limited on the money that we receive. And I think that we might be under the impression that our big three actually address all of our needs, and they do not. So I appreciate this conversation, and I'm glad we have it on the agenda to talk about, but that's my comments about it. I think that I see Congress really wanting to start our spending and trying to address multiple needs that are not necessarily being addressed right now. So I appreciate Congresswoman Stabler, you know, attending our meeting and talking about her bill. But, you know, with the committee, so as mentioned, if this bill passes, you know, of course, through Congress, then it will affect our big bill, 2076. So I think that there needs to be some type of movement to Congress to decide how they feel about this bill and what direction that needs to be taken. But as with Congresswoman Shaw, I'm still new as well, so I may want to visit with the clerk about that. If we were to like make a motion to with no recommendation to Congress, and so that it can be addressed there, then we know how to manage 2076. Would you agree, Clerk?
Yes, ma'am, you can make a motion with no recommendation if your intent is for Congress to move to have Congress move on this up or down. And your other options would be to take no action and have it remain in committee and for further discussion and consideration at a later time. It wouldn't even have to be during this session. It could be during the spring, or you could amend it to where it wouldn't take effect for this fiscal year. There are many options available. It just depends on how the committee and how the body feels.
Committee, do you guys have any preference?
Yeah, Chair Evord, I have a question.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
How would this affect the big bill now? I mean, if it's not hitting that ceiling percentage mark, I don't see how it would affect what we're doing. If you could elaborate on that.
I think that although it may not, what if this bill gets on the floor and somebody makes amendment to reduce that percentage?
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying. Yeah, it does have the capability of affecting what we're doing now. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Is there any other discussion?
This is Brandy.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, second speaker. So I have visited with Congresswoman Stabler concerning this topic. And although I'm not ready to move this out of committee yet, I do think it is still worthy of, you know, continued discussion, whether it be today or in the future. It is a new concept. And in law, it would be a new concept. It's not something that other people haven't thought about before. And I don't want to, I'm just not ready for it to move on it yet as a member of the committee. However, you know, it's the will of the committee and what the whole entire committee decides. So what's interesting to me is that one aspect of the legislation is it lets the people, our people, know that they're going to get a certain percentage every year from the distribution, which they already get anyway, a certain percentage. And we have the, you know, whether you're talking about all of direct services or you're talking about just the burial assistance, the health benefit fund, and the scholarship fund. So like I said, I'm just not ready to move there yet. And I would like to continue to discuss it in committee, whether it be today or we can move on and bring it back. But that's just where I'm at today. I'm just not there where I'm comfortable with this particular piece of legislation. However, I would like to continue to research and do some homework on it. But I do appreciate Congresswoman Stabler taking this leap, because it's always interesting to me that for some reason, and I don't know why, but it's taboo, I guess. It's not a guess. It's almost like nobody wants to put that out there, very seldom, on the airways to discuss conservative fiduciary responsibility. And, you know, you can use all the different words that we have: cuts, curb the cost, conservative fiduciary responsibility, all those things. And I thank you, Congresswoman Stabler, for taking that leap. And I'd like to continue to discuss how we can find a way, and this might be a solution, to be able to share more of our distribution with more of our people. You'll have people on here say, well, the health benefit fund serves everybody. It does. I won't argue with that. But we still have folks, just like our speaker mentioned, who are in categories that society pushes aside. because of embarrassment or whatever it is you feel, ashamed, being shamed. And I'm excited to know that we have people here today, and they're going to continue to serve us as elected officials that are going to be ready and willing to open the discussion and not be chastised by other members or other people, which they will, we will be, it's part of the job, but not be so afraid. Know you're going to take your lumps and bumps for even considering walking down the possible road of decreasing our spending. And I have to look at it on a personal level. You know, I was for decreasing the scholarships. That will directly affect my pocketbook. I have a daughter who's going to go to college in 2021 fiscal year. But I cannot let that personal pocketbook hit, the possibility of it, affect what we have been put here to do. There are other members on our Congress that have children in college. It's going to affect theirs also. But we have to put that aside, 100% aside, and be selfless and choose to be willing to put this out there. I visited with another Congress member who said, you know, this is a really slippery slope to go down. Once you start making, you know, cuts, it just seems like they stay and they never, you know, they never rebound. And, you know, you could say the other side's slippery, that once you continue to fund something at a high rate and continually continue to fund it, but leave other groups, socioeconomic groups out, you know, that's a slippery slope. So how do you justify continuing to fund something that has grown exponentially, or an education, you know, grant? I want to say this, it's not a scholarship, it is a grant. You know, how do you continue to do that and have the ability to stand there when somebody's homeless on the streets of Tulsa, who's Osage, and you go see about them because you know where they are, where they stay? I mean, how do you not find it in your heart to think maybe it's time to start discussing this and bringing it to fruition in some way, somehow? Because there's never going to be a good time. Nobody wants to have to take less. So thank you, Congresswoman Stabler. I appreciate your bravery.
Madam Chair.
Just a sec, Congressman Potts. I think we had planned to recess at 11:30 and until 1 o'clock. And if you guys like, you know, I could, if we don't want to do anything, then I'm open to hear a motion to postpone so we can keep discussing. Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say yes.
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 Motion to adjourn until 1:30?
1 p.m.
1 p.m.
Recess, not adjourn.
Recess, not adjourn.
I apologize. Motion to recess. Thank you. Till 1 p.m.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all those in favor, say yes.
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 Okay, thank you guys. We'll see you back at 1:00.